We pray the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be part of this session of Holy Communion celebration today. And we thank you because you enable us to be, you enable us to be there for that. We want you to strengthen us so that we can be what you want us to be all the time and everywhere you want us to stay on this world. We want you to bless every one of us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be blessed all by the God.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua, for guiding us for the Holy Communion. This is now the good time to hear from the Lord. We are welcoming our brother Muhindo for the preacher.
Thank you very much. Can we clap to the Lord for that wonderful moment? We are glad to be able to connect to the rest of the Christians across the world through this moment of communion. I always say communion is a place of equality, of a common denominator where we recognize, regardless of our origins, regardless of our colors, our intellectual abilities, we all come to the same table, share in the same cup, with all the people from all the nations saying, we are in this together, and we are all the children before the feet of Jesus. So the next time you take communion, please remind that you are united to a whole army of people across the world. Amen. This is a special week. It's Palm Sunday, for those who didn't know. If you don't know what Palm Sunday is, you will know very soon. And this is where Jesus came into Jerusalem to prepare for his ultimate sacrifice and where people receive him in joy and celebration. So thank you, Pastor, for giving me the privilege to lead the reflections this week. So today we are going to do a reflection on Palm Sunday. And then on Friday, we want to invite you at 5 p.m. for a good Friday service. It's going to be in English. So the French service is on Thursday, and then we are going to have another French service on Thursday with Holy Communion, and then we'll have a good Friday service on Friday from 5 p.m. We'll have some reflection on the Passion of Christ, and then we'll have Holy Communion on Friday. Then on Sunday, I will come back and conclude this reflection as we reflect on Easter. How now shall we live in our time as we reflect back 2,000 more years back on the sacrifice of Christ. So that's it for the week. If you have time to come on Thursday for the friend service and Friday, please come over. It's going to be starting from 3 p.m. But on Friday, all the English speakers, let's come back here on Friday at 5 p.m. for a reflection on Easter, on Good Friday, on the Passion of Christ, and also have a time of Holy Communion. So that's it for the program for the week. So if I don't say some of the things here, we hope that during the week we'll have time to say some more. So I'm going to start by asking you a rather disturbing question. How many of you have ever thought of talking to a person who resurrected? If you hear somebody resurrected, how many of you would have say, I need to talk to that person, you know? How many of you, it's your dream one day to meet somebody who resurrected and have a conversation with them? Ah, okay, we see a couple, Dr. Neil, I see a brother. Yeah, I see Musa there. Cool, I don't want to ask you what you need to ask. That's up to you. I just wanted to know statistically how many people. Now, that's hypothetical. Now, imagine that you know this person is from your neighborhood, and you participated at their burial, you saw them being buried, and you were there. You watched it, you were a witness, and you saw them die. And then a few weeks later, they say, so-and-so has risen up. All of us will be curious to go and double check, isn't it? If we knew the person. Now, if you find out that it was real, it was not an April Fool's joke. Yesterday was 1st of May, it was April Fool. How many of you were lied to? Sister Gwen, I wonder who did that. I can suspect who did that. So, this is not an April Fool's. It's a real, you know this person died, and you can see them. And you can touch them. Imagine how viral that story would go on social media, on all the news, all the channels of the world. Even people in the village who do not have internet connection would know that in such and such a village, somebody resurrected. Now, some of you may be thinking that I'm talking about the resurrection of Jesus. No, I'm not talking about the resurrection of Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus lived in a community. People knew him. His sisters were Mary and Martha, and Jesus rose him from the dead. And imagine the story that would go after Jesus performing that miraculous sign in the presence of everyone. The story of Jesus went viral, and everybody was saying, we need to meet this person. He raised somebody from the dead. Even the religious leaders wanted to know, who is this person? The reason I'm telling you this story is because that's the backdrop by which we introduce the Palm Sunday story. The Palm Sunday story comes after, in the aftermath of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. So his name has become very famous, and everybody at least has heard that there is someone from Nazareth called Jesus who rose Lazarus from the dead. And it's in that context, with that story still playing in people's mind, still fresh in people's mind, that Jesus comes to Jerusalem. Now imagine if somebody raised somebody from the dead, we hear that that person is coming to Goma, coming from, let's say, Sake. All of us would go and see, who is this person who raised this person from the dead? That's what happened to Jesus. He comes into Jerusalem in the aftermath of performing this story of Lazarus resurrecting, and people so much curious about Jesus that they come, and we have our story today, the story of Palm Sunday. It's one of the unique stories that we find in all the synoptic gospels and with variations of the context, but this is the story that we find. So, our story today, I know we don't have a lot of time, is Jesus' triumphal entry, a roadmap to the ministry and to mission. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. How can this be a roadmap for us to do ministry and to do mission among our people? Jesus' triumphal entry, a roadmap to ministry and to mission. So we are in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 17. For the sake of time, I want you to keep a tab on that, on those verses. I'm going to tell you what the context say, and then you can go ahead and read it when you have some time. But you will get the context. So Matthew, we are in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 to 17. So from 1 to 11, we see Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And then from 12 to 17, we see Jesus going to the temple and clearing the temple. Now imagine what happens. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He comes into Jerusalem. Everybody comes to Jesus, and they start singing to him. If you look at verse 8, you see most of the crowd spread their garment on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and they spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people of all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David, blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven." That's what they're singing. Praise the Lord, because blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they say, "Hosanna to this king who has come, and he is blessed because he comes in the name of the Lord. And we know, so I want you to have those stories, three stories in the mind. Jesus raising Lazarus, Jesus entering Jerusalem with all these people coming to him and throwing all their garments and branches in his pathway. And then the story where Jesus goes directly to the temple and chasing everyone from the temple. That's quite a day. It's really a packed day. Where you raise someone from the dead, you come into town as the local, like, famous guy, and then you go to the temple and kick everyone's out. It's beautiful, isn't it? Who would like to have such a week? It's a lot packed in that. Now, because we don't have a time, I want to share with you three reflections that reveals three lenses through which we can look at the story of the Palm Sunday and see how we can apply that for mission. The first one, we see a celebrated Jesus. A celebrated Jesus. Jesus is celebrated. Jesus is celebrated by the people, honored by the people as they come to him and they say, blessed is who comes in the name of the Lord. The celebrated Jesus. Jesus comes in as a famous person. His fame has already preceded him. And people come from all places celebrating him. You know, crowds, if you want to create a crowd in town, you don't need a lot. Just choose 10 people, go in town and have them start shouting your name around a market. What will happen? The rest of the people will wonder why they are not also shouting. And then they will come to see. And the motorcyclist will stop. And before you know it, in the lips of everyone, they're saying, who is this person? So this is what happens to Jesus. We don't know who started this. But we know that it became so popular that everyone came and it attracted even the religious leaders. They celebrated Jesus. Jesus is celebrated and he's sitting on a colt, on a donkey. He's sitting on a donkey, and that we can see that in Zechariah 9:9, where it is predicted that the king will come sitting on a donkey. But there's something that we learn from mission when Jesus is celebrated. Jesus is not fooled by the celebration of the people. But if you look at the other texts that talk about this in the Gospels, you will see that Jesus had compassion on the people. In the midst of all the celebration, his heart was broken. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, if you only knew what was the source of your peace. When the people are celebrating him, singing his praise, inside his heart is broken for the same people. Because he knows that they are singing, but they do not know why they are singing. Because he knows they are happy and they do not know why they are happy. We see Jesus mixing celebration and compassion. He doesn't take it as saying, you know what, I am the cool guy, the new cool guy in town. Look at me. But his heart is broken. As Christians, as we go out for mission, as we do ministry, when we are celebrated, what is our reaction? Do we respond with compassion? When we are celebrated for the things that we do, maybe for our talent, for the things that stand out, do we react with compassion? Jesus is not fooled by the praises of people, but his heart is broken inside with compassion. And that, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need to have the attitude of Jesus, who is celebrated. But the celebration does not get into his head. He still keeps a broken heart before God and for those same people because he knows, as he said in the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing and they were killing him. He is saying the same thing internally, saying, God, these people are shouting and singing, but they do not know why they are singing. Brothers and sisters, we may be celebrated, but don't assume people know why they are celebrating you. Don't assume people know why. People may come because they came in a crowd or because they were promised something. We need to keep our hearts broken, our hearts of compassion. That will help us see beyond the celebration. We've seen leaders who have derailed on their path because they focused on the celebration. If you are running a race and people start clapping for you, what if you stop and start say, yes, continue clapping? What will happen to the race? The race will stop and you will lose it. Imagine Messi playing and Ronaldo for others so that I don't hurt people. Imagine Messi or Ronaldo. I think we are all covered if I've said or two people. Imagine them playing and they're about to score. And the whole stadium is standing and saying, yeah, this is our moment. And then they stop and say, yes, let me enjoy this. What will happen? The defense will come and take the ball away. And there will be no goal. Jesus is not getting fooled by the celebration of the people, but he focuses on the compassion of the people. The second thing we see here is they misunderstood Jesus. They misunderstood Jesus. We have celebrated Jesus, but in that celebration, the people are not able to spell who Jesus is. Because what they are celebrating is not the reason Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem to die. But they're celebrating him because they think he is coming to be the king and to deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. So there is a wide misunderstanding between what Jesus is trying to achieve and what the people want. A misunderstood Jesus. And when they're saying Hosanna, they're saying Hoshea-na. So one person would call Hoshea, and the people would respond, na, Hoshea, na, Purdi, save us now. This is our time of our salvation. Save us now from the Romans. But Jesus is saying, no, you have misunderstood me. I have come here to die. The reason for his coming was for him to come to die. I thought we would try this. So let's say just 1 minute. Just stand up a little bit. We want to try this. We want to get into the mood of the Easter. So some of you have palms. You have palms? Oh, only one person has a palm. Oh, we have two people. We have three. Okay, good. This row does not have a palm. And preacher has no palm. Okay, we will correct that. So what we are going to do, we are going to try what they were doing. So when I cry Hoshea, you're going to respond, nah. But remember, you are the crowd. I am the leader. So we are going to see, Hoshea! Hoshea! Okay, your na is very Baptist. I want you to put in a more Pentecostal na. Not a Baptist na. You know, we want to try. Hoshea! 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 Now, in English, it will translate to save us. You're going to respond now. Okay? Save us! Save us! Hoshea! Hoshea! Save us! You can clap for yourself and be seated. Thank you very much. So this was the mood. This is what they were doing. Hoshea, which means save us. And the people were responding now. Save us now. And we can see the root Hoshea, save us, is the same name of Jesus because his name was Yeshua. Yeshua, Hoshea, means the Savior Yeshua has come to save, and the people were responding now. We want that salvation to come now, right now. But Jesus knew something these people did not know. He knew that in order to save them, he first needed to save their soul, their spiritual life. Let's look at the elusive Jesus. So we looked at the celebrated Jesus, the misunderstood Jesus, the elusive Jesus. The elusive Jesus now, we see Jesus who has just been coronated to be the king, save us now, going to the temple and kick everyone out and start doing things. And people are like, what? Is this the Savior we were waiting for? Who is this person for real? Imagine Pastor Festo inviting Jesus here, and they say, okay, brothers and sisters, we have Jesus in our midst. We are going to give him the microphone to say something. Jesus comes and picks the microphone and says, thank you very much for worshiping me. From today, there's no more church. I'm stopping all the churches. You can go back and do other things. How will the pastors react? How will you react? You will say, no, we are worshiping Jesus, but we need our church, our tradition. We need to keep it. The people were stuck to their tradition and their idea of who the Savior is. But when the real Savior came, they rejected him. And that's why you see in this very story, they say, the stone that was rejected by the people has become the cornerstone. Jesus, by doing that, he gets rejected by the people and fulfills the promise. The elusive Jesus. There's a lot to say there. Our time is up. We go to the conclusion. So I'm going to conclude by saying a word on the donkey. There is a donkey in this story. A word on the donkey. The donkey finds itself in a very funny, complicated story that has deep, like, eternal implication, but he doesn't know. All it had to do was to carry a man. But that was not just like any man. It was the Son of the living God, the creator of the heaven and the earth. And I want to close by saying, we need to have the attitude of this donkey. Of course, they didn't have a choice. They just untied it and brought it. They didn't ask it, do you want to carry Jesus? They said, nah. Okay, they didn't ask. So they just carried it. But we know that every time the story of Jesus will be told, this donkey will be part of the story. Everywhere in all languages, in all cultures, where the story of Jesus will be told, the donkey will be part of the story. My question to you, whom are you carrying? If you carry Jesus, if you carry the Son of the living God, everywhere, after you, this is 2,000 years later, the donkey is part of the story. We don't know the name of the donkey, but we know there was a certain donkey that helped fulfill the promise that is in Zechariah 9:9. He will come sitting on the donkey. What if you have a role to play in carrying Jesus? What if the place where the story of Jesus will be told, your story will be told? Maybe your name will not be remembered. That's not important. The name of the donkey. But they will know there was a certain human. Because God in heaven knows this donkey. And God in heaven knows you. Knows what you can serve. So on Friday, we will talk about the passion. I invite you at 5 p.m. as we reflect about the passion of Christ. Then I'll come back and conclude as we reflect on Easter Sunday. Thank you very much. May God bless you. Hoshea! 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 Save us! Let's clap to our God.